Hello neighbors, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. Today our focus is on a $10 word, research. It's considered almost magical by some, but it has long been a constant companion of farmers and gardeners. There's the official and highly organized type, as done by the federal government's agriculture researchers, but there's also the regular and everyday research that comes from the keen observation and analysis of people who farm and garden. They do research as well, and they remind us of the need to keep the link between research and lived experience strong. Today we have two interviews which relate to those two kinds of research.
Although we're the smallest research and development center in the country, we have a really good multidisciplinary mix of researchers. Have the ability to look to other jurisdictions and say, okay, let's get the best management practices from other jurisdictions and use those to develop agriculture here.
No two summers seem to be the same here. It's hard to see what the trend is going to be. Should things warm up, or should things become any more moderate, it'll be harder and harder for those native species to survive.
Even many long-term residents of St. John's or Mount Pearl may not be aware that one of their neighbors is an experimental farm. It's tucked away on Brookfield Road, with fields and labs, greenhouses and offices, and a buzz of activity. First off today, I speak with an associate director at the research farm who has a background with agriculture in various forms. I sign in, get my badge at security, and we find a quiet conference room for a chat. Pull up one of those awkward wheeled chairs. Join us.
Leanne Wilson, so I'm the Associate Director for Research Development and Technology Transfer for the Science and Technology Branch of Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. So right now we're at the St. John's Research and Development Centre. It's one of 20 research and development centres across the country. We're the only one located in Newfoundland, and we're really here to kind of develop research and development to support the industry regionally as well as nationally.
You came to this job through other agriculture jobs as well, so
yes.
This is part of a career for those of you who don't think you can have a career in agriculture. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. So yeah, I've only been a part of the federal government for 9 months now. Before that, I worked just next door with the Newfoundland and Labrador Federation of Agriculture. And before that, I've worked with the Ontario Greenhouse Vegetable Growers in Leamington, Ontario, as well as with Horticulture Australia in Australia. So, and I'm actually from the prairies. I'm from Manitoba originally. Mm. So I've kind of traveled around a bunch, always doing an agriculture job, which has kind of given me a lot of insight on different research development side of things, as well as a lot from the industry side as well.
We're trying hard to get young people into agriculture. So what inspired you to go into an agricultural career?
Well, I grew up on a farm, so I'm from rural Manitoba, so I grew up on a farm, and I think when I was thinking about what I was going to do in school, I kind of was between a science, like a biology degree, or an agriculture degree, and I guess my dad pushed me into the agriculture degree, I think at that point, saying you might get more jobs that way sort of idea, and I think I love the idea of the science behind it and the research behind it and being an applied aspect of it. So, you know, what I could be doing would be helping actually grow food or helping farmers grow food and actually having a real impact on society.
Now, some people have driven by on Brookfield Road here, the station. Yeah. What happens here?
What we do here, and we're not the only ones on the station, I'll say that as well. So I already mentioned the Federation of Agriculture, and the provincial government's also just next door. So it's great to have, as well as the dairy farmers and egg farmers, it's really good to have the chicken farmers, I should say, everyone on site here. But in our facility, so within Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, we conduct basically research and development projects for the province. So we're really lucky that although we're the smallest research and development center in the country, we have a really good mix of researchers. So we kind of talk about having a really good multidisciplinary group. So right now we have 6 research scientists who are supported by a team of students and technicians and people like that. And we focus on everything from insects and diseases, things that are actually, you know, damaging our crops right now. We focus on crop physiology. So really, how is the plants growing? Our most recent hire was an ecophysiologist. So really, you know, in our climates, our cold climates, how are the plants dealing with frost and early frost or late frost and winter die-off? off, and we're a lot cooler and different conditions than other areas of the country. And we also have more work on things like genetic enhancement. So let's find berries that actually grow in our climate and are good here and are high quality, high yielding, as well as other things to do with, you know, forage and horticulture production here. So kind of a big breadth of it.
You have fields here where you do the work. Do they do work on farmers' fields elsewhere as well?
Yes, yeah. For sure. So we're really kind of focused now, and even more so in the last number of years, on making sure our research is relevant to industry. So one of the best ways to do that is to actually get our research on farmers' fields and get those collaborations early on. So it makes it a lot easier to transfer research results to the farms if they're involved from the very beginning. So we have a number of farms across the province have with our different horticulture projects. We have a number of dairy projects that we have also, whether we're taking just samples or we actually have research on their farms. So it kind of varies how much the farmers are involved, but that's kind of a key thing we're trying to do, is get more involved with the farmers, and maybe that's actually having research on their farms, or it could just be getting samples from them or just collaborating them with, and definitely making sure that what we're doing is relevant to industry.
We talk about the challenges of doing agriculture here. Is there something unique about Newfoundland and Labrador that makes agriculture not easier, but that is an advantage for us?
Well, I think, you know, it's very different. So, you know, coming from a number of different areas, Newfoundland and Labrador agriculture is very different because of our climate and just in the soil conditions and things like that. But, you know, I see that as an advantage for a number of reasons. One is we're relatively new in the agricultural continuum. So, you know, we're really at a development stage of agriculture. Although there's been great farmers for many, many years, hundreds of years here, you know, we're really at the infancy stage of really developing our agriculture here. So I think that is a great advantage because we can learn from other jurisdictions on how do they develop land? How do they clear land and develop it? We know we can't put potatoes on the same field for 100 years. We know that causes problems. Mm-hmm. So we know things like crop rotations and things like that. So I think that's one of the uniquenesses or the advantages of agriculture here is, as you know, we want to expand agriculture and everyone else in the province does, we have the ability to look to other jurisdictions and say, okay, let's get the best management practices from the other jurisdictions and use those to develop agriculture here. So I think that's kind of just kind of a more policy side. And I think in the actual environment, there is advantages of being on an island. So, you know, the Newfoundland component of, there's advantages of having, for example, our bee populations considered healthy. So that's a very big advantage that other jurisdictions don't have. So having an island environment can be an advantage because you can kind of have that restriction from pests and diseases coming in, and you can have some sort of a different kind of microcosm or ecosystem here. So I think those are a couple of advantages that we have here.
We talk a lot about trying to get new entrants into agriculture. In some ways, the research you do isn't directly related to that, but are there some things, you've been around the province a while and worked that we could be doing to make it more attractive or to somehow overcome challenges?
I think so. So on the research side, because that's kind of where we're at, I think one of the questions, you know, we ask ourselves, or I ask myself, is if I was a new farmer, and whether that's someone who has background in farming or not, or if someone who just today decides they want to be a new farmer, how do we allow them to get into it easily? And once they have their land and everything in place, how do they know what to grow? How do they know how to grow it? How do they know what's best for the plot of land you have? You know, we're looking more at doing that kind of land development, land suitability, what we call things like agricultural landscape design. So can we tell new entrants with the help of industry, because they have a lot of experience, with the plot of land you have, you might want to develop it this way because this is going to be, you know, economically and environmentally sustainable. You might want to, you know, include windbreaks, or you might want to include native plants as kind of row crops or buffers to allow for native beneficials. So those are the kind of things from a research side we're looking at, of how can new entrants getting into it, how could they design their farms to be the best farms that they can be? And I think that's kind of from a research side, that's kind of where we can help out, and just really trying to get new research out there on what good crops can we grow here. So we're looking trying to look at what crop varieties will work here. We're looking at things to do with more season extension. So again, so if you're going to get in as a new farmer, if you only have a couple of months to produce it and make a living and to pay your bills, you really want to extend that period of time where you can actually make a profit. So, you know, whether that's through plastic culture technologies, whether that's through more extended season things like greenhouses, how do the new entrants make sure that their business is viable so they can produce for a longer period of time and they can pay their bills?
Do you have a song that I could play that especially is emblematic of agriculture for you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to think back to my roots.
Song from Manitoba, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess there's not like the ode to Manitoba.
No, there's no ode. Everything, yeah, everything's agriculture. Every song in Manitoba is linked back to agriculture.
Well, these muggy Texas summers, they're really bringing me down. Got these bugs in the air, got this sweat on my brow, and there ain't much that we can do except to get out while we can. And I may not have a clue, babe, but I sure got a plan. We can hop in my car, drive straight. straight north, and we ain't gonna stop to that Canadian border when the customs man asks. If I got something to declare, well, I'll say I've never been to heaven, but we're gonna find it somewhere in Manitoba. 1,200 miles from here, Manitoba. We can just disappear in Manitoba. Maybe as long as you're there, it's as nice a place as anywhere. Gonna build us a cabin way out of town in the middle of nowhere, where we'll never be found. Live glorious and free, spring, summer, and fall, trying to keep warm through the winter, wearing nothing at all. In Manitoba,
Manitoba,
just a running buck bear in Manitoba,
Manitoba,
in that crisp prairie air in Manitoba,
Manitoba.
Baby, as long as you're there, it's as nice a place as anywhere.
That's Andrew Delaney with a song called Manitoba, about his dreams of escaping to that province to live. It's played in honor of our guest today, Leanne Wilson of Agriculture and Agri-Foods Canada, who hails from that fair province. Back to our chat.
You mentioned the G word there, the greenhouse. Whenever people from elsewhere talk about Newfoundland and greenhouses, they talk about sprung.
Yeah.
Which we haven't lived past yet. But you have experience with greenhouses. What's the potential, I suppose?
Yeah, I think here? There's, you know, I think production here, there's so many options. So you could do everything from traditional field production or kind of more of enclosed production, season extension, like I mentioned. But there is potential to do more high-tech controlled environment stuff. So whether that's a high-tech greenhouse that's still exposed to the environment, or more of these control container vertical farming systems you see now and then. So I think in that area, there's, you know, I think it's, there's uncertainty still on it. So what is the potential? We need to look into that. So, you know, what energy sources can we use there? What kind of programs can be put in place to help support it? What crops really should be grown here? Because again, we're going to be different than other areas. So in southern Ontario, it might make sense to have 100 acres of tomatoes, but that probably doesn't make sense for our economy here. You probably don't want 100 acres of tomatoes because there's not enough people here to eat those tomatoes. And the export market's a little bit more complicated. So diversification of those greenhouse systems. How do you do, instead of a monoculture in greenhouse, how do you do more of a diversified intercropping sort of system? And what crops can you grow here that makes sense? And, you know, vertical farming systems are interesting, but they traditionally do more leafy greens and herbs and stuff, which is good, but everyone doesn't eat kale for every meal of every day, you know, and it's good as a supplement. But are there other crops or other production systems that can help support here, and especially more in the northern remote communities in our province and other provinces? How can we ensure that they have high quality nutritional crops that they want to actually eat? What you can grow is, you know, not the hard part. The hard part is actually finding a market or people who want to consume what you're wanting to grow.
Which sort of brings us to the question about what consumers want from their food these days. Do you get a sense of, even within Agriculture and Agri-Foods Canada, how you talk about how to deal with the consumer? Because when I was growing up, Agriculture Canada was what it was called, and they added agri-foods. And it seems like there's a lot more discussion of policy and where the population is going.
Yeah, and I think it's true. You know, Agriculture and Agri-Foods Canada itself, we're looking at the food side more. So we have a couple of centers that are really focused on the food side of things, and how do we actually get high quality food, or getting into more, you know, even the nutraceuticals, or like those type of sides of how can food make for healthy, not just eating a carrot, but how can we produce something that's going to be an additive in different products and things like that. So I think that's an interesting kind of area to look at, and I think it's only going to increase because especially in Canada, we traditionally in agriculture have done commodities. We've traditionally produced our wheat, produced our canola, and then shipped it overseas. And, you know, it's recognized that that doesn't, you're missing that value-added component, and you're shipping it and someone else is getting that value-added component. So how within Canada can we do some sort of value-added processing that will allow us to actually capture the jobs and the economic gains from actually getting those secondary products that we can then sell to other jurisdictions? And I think that's kind of Canada-wide. And in Newfoundland, you know, I think, you know, I've only been in Newfoundland for 4 years now, but what I've been told is that even just in Newfoundland, the actual, you know, diet is starting to shift a little bit. So if we would have come here many years ago, it would have been the traditional Newfoundland diet. But I think with come from ways like myself and other people, I think there's a shift to more different crops that people want to consume, and a different look at what kind of, you know, horticulture crops or other crops they want to consume. And then even not on the horticulture side, but on the dairy side, you know, there's going to be more support, more discussion about artisan and cheeses and different sort of secondary processing of those products too, because people are getting more of that flavor for local production and local, and their willingness to buy those type of products and wanting to find something that they can support their own community, because it's Newfoundland's a small community, really. It's a small group, so I think there's a lot of support for those type of initiatives as well.
And it seems like some of the issues that I've heard Agriculture Agri-Foods Canada talk about would be around public trust or green technologies or innovation. Yeah. I think it was in this room where I first heard the term the indigenization of agriculture, for example. Is it a way for the federal government to kind of introduce to producers some of the challenges that they're going to be facing or are facing already as public changes?
Yeah, and I think so. It's like AFC's, I mean, you know, we're a big group, and I think the public trust one is very interesting because it's, you know, AFC's involved in it, but there's a lot of industry kind of was pushing it as well, and private companies and not-for-profit companies. Agriculture has the trust of the public right now, and how do we kind of maintain that? And I think in Newfoundland in particular, you know, we're so new that, you know, I think maybe people aren't even aware that there's agriculture here. So again, back to the discussion before, we have an advantage because we can brand ourselves. We want to use the word branding, brand ourselves how we want to brand ourselves, because our consumer in Newfoundland doesn't really know who we are right now. We have an advantage on the public trust side here, is that we're waiting to tell the public what we do and get their trust and kind of develop our industry together along with the public, rather than one going ahead of the other kind of idea. We're really wanting to move towards, you know, how do we support Canada? So the indigenization that you mentioned, things like that. So how do we support our northern communities? How do we support rural communities? So it's not just northern communities, but rural communities in Newfoundland and other places. You know, how do they access high quality, good food? And how can we support that through better research and development projects or better, you know, innovations and systems? And how can we be a leader in those type of technologies, which have traditionally we've kind of gotten from abroad? How can we be a leader in controlled environments or other technologies that might help with food production and food security?
Yeah. You and the AAFC have been involved in this way forward on agriculture in the province. If you were to be put on the spot and ask, are there one or two
actions? If one of the main goals of the way forward is to increase food self-sufficiency, and that's kind of one of the key ones, and there's a lot of public support for that as well. So I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, getting land into production and supporting new entrants, really. Yeah, okay. So how we do that is the question, because if everyone knew how to do it, we would have done it.
Yes.
You know, done it years ago, that's really right. Quickly. So yeah. I think there's just a lot of excitement and energy around all of them. So it'll be interesting to see over the next couple of years where it all goes, because it's kind of, there's a lot of things that can happen. And I think there's, you know, the good thing is that there's a lot of excitement for that. So, you know, we might not succeed in everything we've set out for, but at least, you know, we have a vision and we have a target. And you know, a good vision is not necessarily achievable. A good vision is supposed to push you in a direction. And if you fail a little bit, well, then you've still succeeded, right? So, you know, we don't necessarily have to meet all the targets in my mind. We just have to at least be going in the direction to help achieve them. And that you might not achieve them by 2022, but maybe by 2030, we'll have a really robust agriculture system in the province because of the gains we've made in the early stages of this process.
Right. If you were to go into farming yourself, what kind of farming would you do?
I think it would be something to do with horticulture. So I think it'd be, it's something to do with a very kind of diversified horticulturally based farm. I think I like the idea of it being a farm being an ecosystem where it runs smoothly because you're using the different byproducts from your different systems to run together kind of idea.
What's your favorite local food?
Probably Five Brothers Cheeses. That's what I consume the most locally. Yeah. And also just any of the vegetables. And when it's in the season, I do a lot of, with my family, do a lot of the U-picks in the local area and a lot of the horticulture crops and things. And once you taste kind of the local products, you don't really want to go and just buy some stuff from the grocery store from overseas.
So when people come to visit here, and you're part of Open Farm Day, I think, in the fall, what do they say? How do they respond to it?
I think a lot of people still, you know, we have people who come back every year, so they're kind of familiar with us, but I think we're getting more and more new people who have never been to the experimental farm before. So I think they don't even realize that we exist here. So I think that's kind of one of the things we're working on, is how do we, you know, how do we create more awareness of what we're doing here? And not just awareness for awareness sake, but just really, we're here to support the local Newfoundland and Labrador industry. We're here to support agriculture in Canada. So as Canadians that live here, we're here to support their system. And, you know, we like their feedback and we like to show kind of what the interesting research we're doing to help promote it. And we're always looking for, you know, feedback and input and things like that to kind of help us steer in the right direction.
So Leanne, thanks so much for being here, taking the time.
Thanks for coming.
about it. It's not hot in Manitoba.
Manitoba.
When there's moose and there's bear, Manitoba.
Manitoba.
Hudson Bay and free health care, Manitoba.
Manitoba.
Then as long as you're there, it's as nice a place as anywhere.
That's Andrew Delaney and
Manitoba.
Played for our guest, Leanne Wilson. Next up, I have an excerpt from an interview with Michael Brzezinski and Anne Marceau. It fits our theme about how the keen observation of gardeners is research and helps us to learn how to recognize and adapt to things like climate disruption. You can check out their full interview in an earlier episode from the series, available at fit2eatnl.ca. In this section that didn't make it into the other episode, I asked whether they had seen any changes in the climate over their years of gardening in Rocky Harbour.
We've now got masses of earwigs that we didn't have when we first moved here. They've been with us for about 8 years, something like that. We've now got the huge leopard slug, European leopard slug, which grows up to 12, 13 centimeters long. Fascinating to look at. Great if you like slug steaks, but not really.
This
good
all
for
sounds
the
like protein.
pretty well all of the slugs, except one species on the island, are introduced. All of the
introduced, like somebody said, I think this would be a good idea.
It would be really good. No, no, just accidentally.
Accidentally, yes.
And even things like deer mice, red-backed voles, red squirrels, snowshoe hares, chipmunks, we have all of those in our garden now. They are non-native. They are animals that have been introduced and have spread across the island in the last years. The oldest
except
one is
the
except the snowshoe hare, which was introduced back in the 1850s or something. But all the others are much more recent. And chipmunks, we saw our first one in Rocky Harbour just this summer. So they're now going to be a garden problem. We have bird species here that we didn't have in the past, like grackles and mourning doves. And I think we saw a third and fourth hummingbirds in 30 years in the garden this year. So red wings we don't see very often.
But the fact that they are
not a huge garden problem, but
exactly.
these are all indications of changes and warming up. Certainly what we can grow has changed a lot since we moved here in 89. It's quite remarkable that we can now get almost all of our red tomatoes out in the garden. When we first moved here, we could barely even keep the tomato plants in the ground because the wind was so strong, and if they did last through the summer without being blown down over or into the neighbor's yard, they wouldn't produce anything other than green fruit. You had to ripen everything indoors. Now it almost all ripens in the garden. It's astounding the difference.
One of the unfortunate pieces I hear sometimes when people talk about climate change in Newfoundland Labrador is they say, oh, it's going to get warmer, it's going to be better for us, bring it on.
Probably not.
Okay. Abuse us of that.
Yeah. Well, there are different models, and one of the models suggests cooler and wetter actually in the summers. So it's not really clear which way it's going. No two summers seem to be the same here. It's hard to see what the trend is going to be, and it will be interesting to keep watching in the next few years to see which way it goes.
And I also don't know whether the storms and the strong winds. I mean, this is a place that's windy. You can see it just by driving along the coast and looking at the wind effect on the trees. Well, certainly it presents a challenge in terms of growing things, because when the wind comes up, it pulls things out, and apple trees in the garden are being rocked, which means that it doesn't necessarily blow them out of the ground, but it tears at the roots, and so it potentially weakens the tree for the next year. So is the weather becoming more storm prone in terms of the changes? So yes, there may be heating up of the oceans, but does that then transfer or translate somehow into different kinds of air movements that seem to give us these winds? Or was that always here and it's just that we're noticing it?
Yeah. It's certainly going to be very hard on native species as conditions change. We have a lot of very rare plants, especially in Western Newfoundland, that grow along the coast on the most exposed headland and up on the mountaintops where the conditions are the harshest. If things do get warmer or drier, it's going to be very difficult for the species in those locations. They're living in places where the soil is very, very thin, where they require constant moisture and no competition from other plants. Mm-hmm. And the tough conditions make it very difficult for trees and shrubs to grow there. So they have it pretty well to themselves. Should things warm up or should things become any more moderate, it'll be harder and harder for those species to survive as they have for the last 10,000 years since the ice melted and the land was exposed by the dropping sea levels.
Frileuse d'un hiver qui s'éteint, tu m'as volé mon printemps et mon bec d'alouette. À te brandir la foudre comme un dieu assassin, ton tonnerre dans mes reins et ma tête d'alouette. Jusqu'à salir le ciel, à démolir mon soleil, à me briser les ailes et mon cœur d'alouette. Et mon jour et mon âge et mes rêves, mon père m'a arraché les paupières qui puissent pleurer mes yeux d'alouette.
That's Fred Pellerin with L'Alouette, one of the musical selections from my last guests, Anne Marceau and Michael Brzezinski. The history of food is connected to the age-old human practices of observation, alteration, adaptation, and analysis. In short, to research, both the capital R kind and the daily actions of farmers and gardeners as they interact with plants and animals. In the agriculture tent, there is a place for all of them.
Is the weather becoming more storm prone? So yes, it may be heating up, but does that then translate somehow into different kinds of air movements that seem to give us these winds?
An island environment can be an advantage because you can kind of have that restriction from pests and diseases coming in. Traditionally, in agriculture, have done commodities. We've produced our wheat, produced our canola, and then shipped it overseas. And it's recognized that you're missing that value-added component. A good vision is not necessarily achievable. A good vision is supposed to push you in a direction, and if you fail a little bit, well, then you've still succeeded, right? What you can grow is, you know, not the hard part. The hard part is actually finding a market or people who want to consume what you want to grow.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of the show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The songs for today's show were Manitoba by the Texan musician Andrew Delaney and L'Alouette by Fred Pellerin. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by the punk bluegrass band The Bad Livers. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
has the trust of the public right now, and how do we maintain that?